This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Wa ba'du, Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilman innaka antal alimul hakim. Allahumma ya mu'allima adama allimna wa ya mufahima sulaymana fahimna. Today inshallah we'll try to read Tafsir Surah Al-Jin from Tafsir Al-Karim Al-Rahman, the Tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di رحمه الله تعالى. قال الإمام السعدي رحمه الله تعالى تفسير سورة قل أوحي إلي وهي مكية. بسم الله الرحمن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أوحي إلي أنه استمع نفر من الجن فقالوا إنا سمعنا قرآنا عجبا يهدي إلى الرشد فآمنا به ولن نشرك بربنا أحدا. أي قل أيها الرسول للناس أوحي إلي أنه استمع نفر من الجن صرفهم الله إلى رسوله لسماع آياته لتقوم عليهم الحجة وتتم عليهم النعمة ويكونوا نذرا لقومهم. وأمر الله رسوله أن يقص نبأهم على الناس، وذلك أنهم لما حضروه قالوا أنصتوا، فلما أنصتوا فهموا معانيه ووصلت حقائقه إلى قلوبهم، فقالوا إنا سمعنا قرآنا عجبا، أي من العجائب الغالية والمطالب العالية، يهدي إلى الرشد. والرشد اسم جامع لكل ما يرشد الناس إلى مصالح دينهم ودنياهم، فآمنا به ولن نشرك بربنا أحدا. فجمعوا بين الإيمان الذي يدخل فيه جميع أعمال الخير وبين التقوى المتضمنة لترك الشر، وجعلوا السبب الداعي لهم إلى الإيمان وتوابعه ما علموه من إرشادات القرآن وما اشتمل عليه من المصالح والفوائد واجتناب المضار، فإن ذلك آية عظيمة وحجة قاطعة لمن استنار به واهتدى بهديه. وهذا الإيمان النافع المثمر لكل خير المبني على هداية القرآن، بخلاف إيمان العوائد والمربى والإلف ونحو ذلك، فإنه إيمان تقليد تحت خطر الشبهات والعوارض الكثيرة. وأنه تعالى جد ربنا، أي تعالت عظمته وتقدست أسماؤه، ما اتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا، فعلموا من جد الله وعظمته أو من جد الله وعظمته ما دلهم على بطلان من يزعم أن له صاحبة أو ولدا، لأن له العظمة والكمال في كل صفة كمال، واتخاذ الصاحبة والولد ينافي ذلك لأنه يضاد كمال الغناء.
تفسير سورة الجن. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Say, O Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, to the people, it has been revealed to me that a group of the jinn listened to the Quran. Allah directed them to His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم so that they might hear His revelations, and so that proof might be established against them and the blessing be perfected for them, and so that they might be warners to their people. Allah instructed His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell people about them. When they came to Him, they said to one another, "Listen attentively." And when they listened attentively, they understood the meanings and the truth reached their hearts. And they said, "Indeed, we have heard a wondrous recitation that is something most amazing and sublime, which guides to the right path." The right path is a comprehensive term that includes everything that guides people to that which is in their best interests in both their religious and worldly affairs. So we have believed in it, and we will never associate anyone with our Lord. Thus they combined faith, which includes all good deeds, and piety, which implies refraining from evil. They referred to the reason that prompted them to believe, which was that they learned from the teachings of the Quran and what it contains of advice, benefits, and the call to avoid harm. That is a great sign and definitive proof for the one who walks in its light and follows its guidance. This beneficial faith that leads to all that is good and is based on the guidance of the Quran is different from faith based on customs or upbringing and what one is used to and the like, for that is faith that is based on traditions, which is at risk of being shaken when exposed to specious arguments and doubts. and many other things that could undermine it. He exalted be the majesty of our Lord, that is, exalted be His greatness and sanctified be His names, has neither wife nor child. They learned about the majesty and greatness of Allah, which highlighted to them the falseness of those who claim that He has a wife or child, because to Him belong greatness and perfection in every sublime attribute. Having a wife or child is contrary to that, because it is opposite to the idea of complete independence and self-sufficiency.
قال وأنه كان يقول سفيهنا على الله شططا أي قولا جائرا عن الصواب متعديا للحد وما حمله على ذلك إلا سفهه وضعف عقله وإلا فلو كان رزينا مطمئنا لعرف كيف يقول قال وأنا ظننا أن لن تقول الإنس والجن على الله كذبا أي كنا مغترين قبل ذلك وغرنا القادة والرؤساء من الجن والإنس فأحسننا بهم الظن وظنناهم لا يتجرؤون على الكذب على الله فلذلك كنا قبل هذا على طريقهم فاليوم إذ بان لنا الحق رجعنا إليه وانقدنا له ولم نبالي بقول أحد من الناس يعارض الهدى.
The fool among us, Iblis, has been uttering extravagant lies about Allah, that is, saying things that are far removed from what is true, thus transgressing the limit. Nothing made him to do that except his foolishness and lack of reason. Otherwise, if he had been mature in thinking and had any shred of dignity, he would have known what is appropriate to say. Although we thought that no human or jinn would ever tell lies about Allah, that is, we were deceived before that by the leaders of the jinn and humans. So we thought well of them, and we thought that they would not dare to tell lies against Allah. Therefore, we followed their path before this. But today, the truth has become clear to us. So we have turned back to Him and submitted to Him. And we do not care what anyone says that is contrary to true guidance.
Okay, there's a few things actually here to point out. First, the name of the surah, Surah Al-Jinn. And something known among the companions that they would name the surah by the first few words of it. So, and again, you can see Imam Sa'di here starts the surah or calls the surah Tafsir Surah Qul Uhiya Ilayya. Because it's unique. There's no other surah that starts with the same words. So again, the names, most of the surahs of the Quran have more than one name. And that's common, and there's no issue with that. This surah is Surah Al-Jinn, because it talks about the jinn. And this is a topic, you know, that excites people. It excites people. And obviously it excites the jinn as well. So ruqya practitioners, they actually use Surah Al-Jinn when they sense that a jinn is likely to embrace Islam. Why? Because this is the story of jinn who actually overheard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing Qiyam al-Layl, and he was reciting Quran. So they overheard him. And they called one another. So they listened to the Prophet. They hearkened to the Prophet ﷺ reading Quran. And they listened. They listened with reason. And they became Muslims based upon that. Just based upon that. And it seems this was the first time, or the first incident, that jinn really listened to the Prophet ﷺ. Afterwards, so these people listened to the recitation of the Prophet ﷺ, they believed in it, they became Muslim, and they went back to their people. Now jinn live in groups, in tribes, in configurations, sort of social configurations. And again, it seems from the words that some of the scholars say, who spoke about jinn and the world of jinn, is that jinn are more organized than humans. Jinn are more like military organization. So they have kings, they have leaders, and people live under their command. That's how it is. And they have tribes as well, and they have a chain of command. And it's very strict. And most of them would not, you know, act out of that chain of command. So they're very well organized. And subhanAllah, ruqya practitioners as well, they would say, they would sense that there is an issue not with one jinn in a person, but it's actually a group of jinn. They would go for the head of that group. They would go for the leader or the king of that jinn, knowing that if they get to convince that jinn by reciting Quran, getting that king to become Muslim, all of his followers would follow suit. But they still have, obviously, betrayals, and they have backstabbing, and they have all of these issues. But again, these are just observations that are very well documented. The Prophet ﷺ had, it seems like there's no, as far as I know, there's no clear agreement on how many times the Prophet ﷺ met with the jinn. So there were actually some of the jinn who heard the Prophet ﷺ became Muslim, they actually requested to meet the Prophet ﷺ. So we know from hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, it's in a sahih, that the Prophet ﷺ said to him, "Do you want to come with me and see something extraordinary?" So he says, we walk out of Mecca, and the Prophet ﷺ makes a circle for me in the sand, and he says, "Don't cross the line." And the Prophet ﷺ goes a little bit further, starts reading Quran. Then he says, "I see shadows coming towards the Prophet ﷺ, passing by me." And he said, "I got so scared that I wanted to leave, but I remembered the Prophet ﷺ said, 'Don't leave.'" And he said, "I was scared for the Prophet ﷺ himself, because the shadows accumulated around the Prophet ﷺ to the point that I couldn't see him any longer. This is in a sahih. So he said, "I remember the recommendation or the command of the Prophet ﷺ not to leave or not to cross the line, so I stayed there." And then after a while, the Prophet ﷺ came back and he said, "These were kana hadha wafdul jinn." This was a delegation from the jinn. They came, they asked about Islam. And Allah mentions in Surah Al-Jinn and other places in the Quran about Al-Jinn. And one day the Prophet ﷺ said to the companions, when he was reading to them Surah Ar-Rahman, he said, "Ala taquluna kama qala al-jinn?" "Qalu wa ma qalu ya Rasulullah?" "Qal kana kullama qultu fa bi ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukadhiban?" "Qalu la wallahi rabbana la nukadhibu bi shay'in min ayatik." Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. The Prophet said, "Won't you be like the jinn? Every time I read fa bi ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukadhiban," when I read Surah Ar-Rahman to them, and I said, "فَبِأَيِّ أَلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ," "Which of the favors of your Lord do you deny?" They said, "Oh, our Lord, we do not deny or we do not disbelieve in any of your blessings or your favors." So that happened with, and again, there were more than one incident that the jinn would actually request to meet with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there are sahaba from the jinn. There are companions from the jinn. These are the jinn who met the Prophet ﷺ in person, and they believed. And this is a consensus among the Muslims, by the way. This is a consensus. It sounds weird, like we're not used to it. Yes, it's not mentioned often. But there are companions among the jinn, those who met the Prophet ﷺ and believed. So the jinn are a world just like humans, and even more sophisticated and more complicated and more widespread. You want? Is it this one? So again, subhanAllah, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that they listened to the recitation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they took heed. And we will see, and actually we already read that part. They said, وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى جَدُّ رَبِّنَا مَتَّخَذَ صَاحِبَةً وَلَا وَلَدًا. Now those who speak Arabic, what is the meaning of jadd here? No, here. Here. وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى جَدُّ رَبِّنَا. And that shows you, the importance of learning the Arabic language, even among the Arabs, that we need good education. We say in the dua, وَتَعَالَى جَدُّك. Right? جَدُّك, your glory, your greatness. So جَد means, it's something tremendous, serious, profound. وأنه تعالى جد ربنا. It's more like an emphasis on the glory of Allah, the glory of Allah and His glory. That's what it means. وأنه تعالى جد ربنا. Okay. So children, especially those who speak Arabic, it might cross their mind as children. I remember, like when I was very young, learning Surah Al-Jinn, and we were told, Subhanallah, but it turned out not to be true. When we were very young and we were learning, memorizing Quran, one of our teachers said, that there was a young man, a young boy, 10 years old. He memorized the Quran, and when they asked him what was the most difficult surah to memorize, and he said Surah Al-Jinn. And that stuck in my head, and I would avoid Surah Al-Jinn. I would not read. Why? Because it's the most difficult. But subhanAllah, like Surah Al-Jinn, I don't know, in my experience and people that I know, that Surah Al-Jinn, even once you memorize it, it's hard to forget it. Like, it's so easy, subhanAllah. So I remember when we first engaged in it, when I read that, the first thing that crossed my mind was Jaddu Rabbina, and I thought, grandfather? But that shows you the importance of, again, teaching or having a good understanding and a suitable understanding of the Quran. There are a few things. I think like you can write a book on young children, young Arab children, when they first read the Quran today, our time. You know, what is their first interpretation of some of the verses? They would be very funny. So that would be a good experience, a good thing to write. Khair, inshallah. So look at their response. فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. We heard a wonderful, glorious recitation, words, profound. So that means the Qur'an touched them. The Qur'an touched them, and that shows that the jinn are similar to humans in this sense, that they have hearts, and they have the capacity to have faith, to believe in Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yahdi ila ar-rushd. Subhanallah, the first time they read the Quran, they recognize this is a book that guides to what? Uprightness. Ar-rushd is being upright and wise in matters of this life and matters of the akhirah. It is more like the perfection of a human being. This is what rushd, being rashid, really is. This is what it means. It's the completion of iman. The more iman you have, the more rushd you have. The more faith you have, the more taqwa you have, the more rushd you have, the more wisdom, guidance you have. That's why we call them al-khulafa al-rashidun, because they manage to run the affairs of the dunya and the affairs of the deen. That's what rushd means. It's perfection. It's a holistic approach to everything, right? That is based on faith. So they recognize, the jinn, when they saw that, they recognize this is profound guidance. This leads to the best way of life. They could tell that. Then they recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Quran speaks about Allah. What is the Quran? The Quran, in brief, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us about Himself. Really, that's what the Quran is. This is what the Quran boils down to. Allah tells us about Himself. Then it goes into details, different aspects. Allah tells us about Himself and His rights upon us. How we should approach that, what we should learn about Him, what should we believe with regards to Him, how should we respond to that faith. And then previous nations as well, how did they deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how did Allah deal with them. So the Quran is all about Allah. This is why the scholars, you will find the scholars in many books, they would say, تعرف الله إلى عباده في القرآن. Allah introduced Himself in the Quran to His creation. وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى جَدُّ رَبِّنَا مَتَّخَذَ صَاحِبَةً وَلَا وَلَدًا. That Allah did not take a wife and did not take a son. So that gives you an indication of these jinn had some influence from where? Christianity. Yes. And until today, there are jinn that are Christian, and there are jinn that are Jews, and there are jinn that are atheist, and there are jinn that are more like devil worshippers. They worship Iblis, literally worship Iblis, and these are again known as the Freemasons or the Illuminati among jinn. And many people say, is there Illuminati among humans? That's actually a jinn organization, but it employs a lot of humans. Yes, knowingly and unknowingly. For the most part, unknowingly. But how do they use people? Through people's greed. This is why greed is dangerous. Greed is dangerous. People who want to reach high positions, people who want to reach, make a lot of money, people who want to be influencers. These are easy people to sell themselves. Again, if it gets, first they will start unawarely, unconsciously, not knowing. They would have pacts with shaitan, but not directly. It would be with people who would offer them something. And a lot of the influencers, by the way, and this is why the online life is extremely dangerous, by the way, a lot of the influencers are sold out, in the sense that they are actually sold, they sold their lives. They literally sold their lives. In return of promises of getting viewers, likes, followers, and so on and so forth. And can shayateen contribute to this? They can definitely do that. And there's actually, I think there's been some documentaries talking specifically about this. There are some celebrities in interviews, I watched a short clip that mentions clearly with some of the famous, especially different ages. Some of those celebrities, they were singers, they were actors, they actually said, I sold myself to the commander, something like, who's the commander? And then they would laugh it off. Yes, and there are pacts. Some, as I said, directly, some indirectly. So it's not, again, what you see around is not so innocent, what's going on. And you are to expect that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Shaitan is a clear sworn enemy to humans. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ قَعَدَ لِبْنِ آدَمَ بِأَطْرُقِهِ كُلِّهَا. That Shaitan sat in wait, ambushing humans in all possible paths of your life. Shaitan will attack you from every angle. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَجْرِي مِنَ ابْنِ آدَمَ مَجْرَ الدَّمِ مِنَ الْعُرُقِ. That Shaitan runs through the veins of Adam. Through your system, just like blood runs through your veins. So again, these are things that are important to be aware of, but not obsessed with. Not obsessed with. There are Muslims who just, everything, oh, this is like jinn, or this is like evil eye, or this is like envy, and this is, and this. Again, they don't know what they're talking about, right? But these people should not be a reason for us to deny something that is very well established. Very well established in our religion, and in their tradition, and their impact as well is there. وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ يَقُولُ سَفِيهُنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ شَطَطًا. And that the foolish ones among us used to say things that are inappropriate about Allah. And again, now they realized. These were their leaders. These were their leaders who invited them to worship the devil, to associate partners with Allah, to claim son to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so on and so forth. Okay, these were their leaders. These were their leaders. So now they figured out, when they listened to the Qur'an, subhanallah, their hearts were filled with light and iman, and they recognized these are our enemies. These are the foolish ones among us leading us to the hellfire. So they rebelled against them. وَأَنَّا ظَنَنَّا أَلَّن تَقُولَ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Because we thought, we followed them, because we thought that jinn and human and mankind would not speak, would not fabricate lies about Allah, would not, you know, have the audacity to speak about Allah in such a manner. So we just trusted them. And that's, by the way, very well known, again, in the tradition of Ruqya in Islam, that a lot of the jinn are very misinformed. They're blind followers. They are very, very loyal, blindly loyal to their leaders. They don't ask questions. And they don't even think for themselves, unless they are made to think. Okay, so again, this shows this. We never thought that humans would fabricate, or jinn as well would fabricate lies. So we just trusted them, and we thought this was the truth. Okay, we continue then. قال الإمام السعدي رحمه الله قال الله تعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأنه كان رجال. Now he will start talking about other areas of jinn life and their interaction with humans. وأنه كان رجال من الإنس يعوذون برجال من الجن فزادوهم رهقا. أي كان الإنس يعبدون الجن ويستعيذون بهم عند المخاوف والأفزاع. فزاد الإنس والجن رهقا أي طغيانا وتكبرا لما رأوا الإنس يعبدونهم ويستعيذون بهم. ويحتمل أن الضمير في زادوهم يرجع إلى الجن ضمير الواو أي زاد الجن الإنس ذعرا وتخويفا لما رأوهم يستعيذون بهم ليلجئوهم إلى الاستعاذة بهم. فكان الإنسي إذا نزل بواد مخوف قال أعوذ بسيد هذا الوادي من سفهاء قومه. وأنهم ظنوا كما ظننتم أن لن يبعث الله أحدا، أي فلما أنكروا البعث وأقدموا على الشرك والطغيان. وأنا لمسنا السماء فوجدناها، أي أتيناها واختبرناها فوجدناها ملئت حرسا شديدا. Let's stop here.
Some individuals among humankind used to seek refuge with some individuals among the jinn, and they only increased them in tyranny. That is, those humans used to worship the jinn and seek refuge with them at times of fear and panic. So the humans increased the jinn in tyranny, that is, transgression and arrogance, when they saw the humans worshipping them and seeking refuge with them. It may be that the pronoun in the phrase "they only increase them in tyranny" refers to the jinn, and the word translated above as tyranny may mean fear. In other words, the jinn increased the humans in panic and fear, trying to scare them more when they saw them seeking refuge in them, so that they would turn to them and seek refuge with them. When a human halted in a scary valley, he would say, "I seek refuge with the master of this valley from the foolish among its inhabitants." They thought, as you did, that Allah would never send anyone as a messenger. That is, when they denied the resurrection, they fell into polytheism and transgression.
Yeah. So this tells us about something that manifested in different ways in different traditions. Among the Arabs, there were again the sorcerers, magicians, al-arrafun, and they used to, yes, deal with jinn, and they would get news. They would judge among people. They would arbitrate. And the Arabs, when they traveled, obviously, traveling through the desert, at night they would camp and rest. So, and they understood, they knew that, you know, there were jinn inhabiting these areas. So the leader of the tribe or the caravan would actually shout out and say, "Na'udu bi sayyidi hadha al-wadi min sharri qawmihi, aw naludhu bihi," that we seek the protection of the leader or the king of this valley or the jinn in this valley, that should his followers harm any of us. And subhanAllah, the jinn that give the jinn arrogance, now humans are fearing us and they are calling upon us and they are seeking our help. So that exacerbated this. So sometimes they would actually scare humans even further. And sometimes it would get to a point again where there would be more dealings between jinn and humans. And this is where people went into al-irafa, or al-arafa, sorcery, and getting into this. We know that one of the people who came to the Prophet ﷺ, that Quraysh brought, he spoke to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "Yabna akhi, inni ashfi min hadhihi ar-rih." He said, "Oh, my nephew," my son, that was the way of them speaking to, kindly to someone younger. He would say that, "I heal from this wind." And they used that, this meant the jinn, that I can heal. And a lot of medicine in the past was actually, you know, dealing with jinn. Some of it, again, was trying to, so they believed a lot of the illnesses were caused by jinn. So they would do something to repel the jinn, either by using other jinn and so on and so forth, or using some substances that they believe jinn do not like. That was the tradition of the Arabs. Other nations, we know that in every tradition, there were shamans, and there were spiritual teachers. And for the most part, these were people dealing with shaitan and jinn. You'll find this in Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism. You will find it even in the traditions, indigenous traditions in North America here, and in Australia and New Zealand, in South America, same thing. So all of these traditions are actually dealing with jinn. In Europe, there was a lot about the gods, the god of the ocean, right? That was jinn. So they would offer sacrifice, the gods of the mountains. And all of these sacrificial traditions and the altars, all of that was worship of jinn. All of that was worship of jinn. So jinn are very well known in the human tradition. Very well known, and there were interactions and there were issues and there were so many elaborate stories between them. Now, the only way to deal with jinn and to know how to deal with jinn in Islam is that they are from the world of the unseen. Allah says, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. They see you, Shaitan and his, you know, followers and his kind. They see you while you don't see them. So how do you deal with that? Allah taught us, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And also, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّةِ أُعِيذُكَ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّةِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْطَانٍ وَهَمَّ وَمِنْ كُلِّ عَيْنٍ لَامَّةِ. And the adhkar of the Prophet ﷺ for protection. That's how we deal with them. Do we deal directly with them? No, it's prohibited in Islam. It's prohibited in Islam. We don't deal with jinn. The only window that is left is a raqi that is knowledgeable, that is very well established in the sciences of Islam, knowing their limits, and who has had good exposure, so they know the ins and outs of dealing with jinn. A lot of raqis go into ruqya, they themselves get possessed by jinn. Why? Because they themselves are not protected. They themselves don't understand much about jinn. And they think, oh, I know the Quran, what are the jinn going to do? I'm just going to say, حَصَّنْتُ نَفْسِي. I seek Allah's protection, and they think that's enough. It's not as simple as that. It's not as simple as that. So it requires a lot of understanding, and it requires precaution. So what happens to these people is that jinn possess them, then jinn start to use them. Jinn start to use them to harm other people as well. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to get involved in that. That's a very serious and very very treacherous territory. You don't want to get there. So that's one. I was going to say something else. How do we do? Again, the more Quran you recite, the more iman that you have. The thing that really protects you most against shaitan is iman, true iman in the heart. Not what you know in your head, not what you have memorized, not what you can, not the books that you have read. No, none of that. It's the state of faith, true iman in the heart. Shaitan cannot live with that. The Prophet ﷺ said to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, مَا رَآكَ الشَّيْطَانُ سَالِكًا فَجًّا إِلَّا سَلَكَ فَجًّا آخَرًا. Shaitan sees you walking down a road, he escapes, he runs to another road. He can't be with you. He can't even get close to you, like he doesn't want to. Okay, so what protects us most? Trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, true faith, iman. When you do sin, you open yourself up to the attacks of jinn. Yeah, you open yourself up to the attacks of jinn in many ways. Waswas, compulsive thinking, obsessive behavior. Where is that? From shaitan. And when a person strengthens their iman, it's less likely to happen to them. So these are important things to keep in mind. It's not about technicalities, it's not about tactics. No. It is something that has to do with iman. That's the protection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. Allah prohibited them from dealing with us, prohibited us from dealing with them. That's it. They have their world, we have our world. Anyone who crosses or starts to cross the boundaries, then they are going against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have to be careful about that. Okay, so again, the point here is that all traditions, they had, you know, their rituals, their systems of dealing with jinn. A lot of the traditions that are now seeping into modern world through psychedelics, they have a lot to do with jinn. And this is when your physiology and the world of jinn come together. Yes. Altering, you know, the chemistry of your brain, the state of your brain, it does somehow get you into other worlds. It does somehow remove something. It does somehow open a door into your life from probably jinn and other things. And people will tell you, like, they take psychedelics. People say, I see God. Probably you're seeing a shaitan. They're deceiving you. Yeah, a lot of people now, they think, oh, you can be spiritual. Some Muslims actually spoke about that and they were considering experimenting with it. SubhanAllah. The Prophet ﷺ left nothing. told the Prophet ﷺ told it, completed the religion, alhamdulillah, was conveyed in full. There was no need for psychedelics, no need for what's DMT and what's this stuff?
Yeah,
all of that stuff. Ayahuasca and all this. Don't even come near it. Don't come near it. It's easy for shayateen to possess you then. Okay. So all again, those people who made lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they sought the help of the jinn, what happened? وَأَنَّهُمْ ظَنُّوا كَمَا ظَنَنْتُمْ أَلَّا يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ أَحَدًا أَيْ فَلَمَّا أَنْكَرُوا الْبَعْثَ أَقْدَمُوا عَلَى الشِّرْكِ وَالطُّغْيَانِ. So when they when they had these thoughts about evil thoughts about Allah, again it led them to disbelieve in the hereafter, and they became what we call Dahriyun. Dahriyun are people who disbelieve in one life. Who believe in one life. And we know that from people's spiritual traditions that tell you, oh, the worship of God and all of that stuff, that's the worship of jinn. And for these people, they don't believe in the hereafter or the next life, they believe in incarnation. They say you will come back to life based on how you did here in this world for another, you know, go or another lifetime, and so on and so forth. They say this is resurrection. No. This is a complete deception, has nothing to do with the truth. This is from the jinn. Okay. قال أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأنا لمسنا السماء أي أتيناها واختبرناها فوجدناها ملئت حرسا شديدا عن الوصول إلى أرجائها والدنو منها وشهبا يرمى بها من استرق السمع وهذا بخلاف عادتنا الأولى فإنا كنا نتمكن من الوصول إلى خبر السماء وأنا كنا نقعد منها مقاعد للسمع فنتلقف من أخبار السماء ما شاء الله فمن يستمع الآن يجد له شهابا رصدا أي مرصدا له معدا لإتلافه وإحراقه أي وهذا له شأن عظيم ونبأ جسيم وجزموا أن الله تعالى أراد أن يحدث في الأرض حادثا كبيرا من خير أو شر فلهذا قالوا وأنا لا ندري أشر أريد بمن في الأرض أم أراد بهم ربهم رشدا أي لا بد من هذا أو هذا لأنهم رأوا الأمر تغير عليهم تغيرا أنكروه فعرفوا بفطنتهم أن هذا الأمر يريده الله ويحدثه في الأرض وفي هذا بيان لأدبهم إذ أضافوا الخير إلى الله تعالى والشر حذفوا فاعله تأدبا مع الله.
We sought news of heaven, that is, we came to it and checked it, and we found it filled with formidable guards who prevented us from reaching it, and flaming fire that was thrown at anyone who tried to eavesdrop. This is not how it used to be for us. We used to be able to get news of heaven, and we used to take up positions therein to eavesdrop and get whatever news of heaven Allah willed. But now whoever eavesdrop will find a flaming fire waiting for him, that is prepared for him to destroy him and burn him. In other words, this is a matter of great significance and is a new development. They were certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to bring about some major events on earth, either good or bad. Hence they said, we do not know whether ill is intended for those on earth or their Lord intends good for them. That is, it must be either one or the other. For they had seen that the things that had changed for them in a way that they found strange. But with their intelligence, they realized that this was because of something that Allah willed and would bring about on earth. These words are indicative of their etiquette, because they attributed good to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when referring to ill, something bad, they spoke in the passive, omitting reference to the doer, out of respect towards Allah.
قال وأن منا الصالحون ومنا دون ذلك أي فساق وفجار وكفار كنا طرائق قددا فرقا متنوعة وأهواء متفرقة كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون وأنا ظننا أن لن نعجز الله في الأرض ولن نعجزه هربا أي وأنا في وقتنا الآن تبين لنا كمال قدرة الله وكمال عجزنا وأن نواصينا بيد الله فلن نعجزه في الأرض ولن نعجزه إن هربنا وسعينا بأسباب الفرار والخروج عن قدرته لا ملجأ منه إلا إليه وأنا لما سمعنا الهدى وهو القرآن الكريم الهادي إلى الصراط المستقيم وعرفنا هدايته وإرشاده وأثر في قلوبنا فآمنا به ثم ذكروا ما يرغب المؤمن فقالوا فمن يؤمن بربه إيمانا صادقا فلا يخاف بخسا ولا رهقا أي لا نقصا ولا طغيانا ولا أذى يلحقه وإذا سلم من الشر حصل له الخير، فالإيمان سبب داع إلى حصول كل خير وانتفاء كل شر، وأن منا المسلمون ومنا القاسطون، أي منا الجائرون العادلون عن الصراط المستقيم، فمن أسلم فأولئك تحروا رشدا، أي أصابوا طريق الرشد الموصل لهم إلى الجنة ونعيمها، وأما القاسطون فكانوا لجهنم حطبا، وذلك جزاء على أعمالهم، لا ظلم من الله لهم، فإنهم لو استقاموا على الطريقة المثلى لأسقيناهم ماء غدقا، أي هنيئا مريئا، ولم يمنعهم ذلك إلا ظلمهم وعدوانهم، لنفتنهم فيه، أي لنختبرهم فيه ونمتحنهم، ليظهر الصادق من الكاذب. ومن يعرض عن ذكر ربه يسلكه عذابا صعدا، أي من أعرض عن ذكر الله الذي هو كتابه فلم يتبعه وينقد له بل غفل عنه ولها، يسلكه عذابا صعدا، أي شديدا بليغا.
Among us were some who were righteous and some who were otherwise, that is, evildoers, wicked people, and disbelievers. We follow different paths, that is, various sects and groups with different whims and desires, each rejoicing in what they had. We have realized that we can never escape Allah's punishment on earth, nor can we escape Him by fleeing. That is, now the perfect nature of Allah's might has become clear to us, and we see how completely helpless we are, for our forelocks are in the hand of Allah, and we can never outwit Him on earth. We can never escape Him if we flee and strive to find means of escape beyond His power. There is no refuge from Him except with Him. When we heard the guidance of the Quran, which guides to the straight path, and we learned its guidance and teachings, it had an impact on our hearts, so we believed in it. Then they mentioned something that would encourage the believer. Whoever believes in his Lord with sincere faith will have no fear of detraction from his reward or injustice. That is, he will not fear loss of reward or unfairness, and no harm will reach him. If he is safe from evil, then he will attain what is good. For faith is a cause that leads to all good things and offers protection against all that is evil. Among us are some who have submitted in Islam and some who are wrongdoers. That is, transgressors who turn away from the straight path. Whoever submits in Islam, it is they who have sincerely sought the right path. That is, they have found the right path that will lead them to paradise and its delights. As for the wrongdoers, they will be fuel for hell, and that will be the requital for their deeds, not injustice on Allah's part towards them. If they had steadfastly followed the right way, we would have bestowed upon them abundant water and provision, that is, palatable water. Nothing prevented that from reaching them except their wrongdoing and transgression. And so as to test them thereby, that is, so as to test them and see who was sincere and who was lying. But whoever turns away from the reminder of his Lord, the Quran, he will subject him to an overwhelming punishment. That is, whoever turns away from the reminder of Allah, which is his book, and does not follow it and submit to it, rather he is distracted from it and pays no heed to it, he will subject him to an overwhelming punishment, one that is far-reaching and severe.
Yeah, so if you look at from the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, sharing with us the response of jinn, a group from the jinn, after they heard the Quran, the recitation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of that is their conversation. So these people, فَلَمَّا سَمِعُوهُ قَالُوا أَنصِتُوا فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ وَلَّوْا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ مُنذِرِينَ. They listened. They came across the Prophet ﷺ praying. They listened to his recitation. They paid heed, and it touched their hearts. It gave them faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Quran speaks about Allah. It restored their faith. It clarified to them the deception that their leaders used to give to offer them and teach them. And thus they started reflecting on the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of the inappropriate dealings between jinn and ins that are haram, that are prohibited, that are based on evil, that compromise faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then now that led them to understand a phenomenon that puzzled them. Because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent, prior to that, the jinn could actually climb on one another. They would form a human bridge, a jinn bridge. They would stand on each other's shoulders, they would stack on each other's shoulders until they reach the nearest heaven. Yeah. Until they reach the nearest heaven. And then they would listen, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives commands to the angels. And some of the angels carry this command to the angels that are supposed to execute it. So they would. When the angels receive the command of Allah, they receive it with a state of what? Humility and khushu' before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the command is given, and then they come back to their senses, they would say, قَالُوا مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. They would ask each other, what was the command? They would want to confirm. So at that time, the jinn used to overhear the commands, some of the commands that were given to the jinn, and they would figure out what is going to happen. A small detail. And they would take it to, again, the humans that used to deal with them. Al-Arrafin, the sorcerers, the magicians, etc. And they would give them that. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَيَكْذِبُ مَعَهَا السَّاحِرُ مِئَةَ كَذِبًا. So the sahir will take this true news that is stolen by the jinn and would add to it 99 lies. And that's why sometimes they would get certain things right. And that's why people trusted them. Because they could tell, they could say something was going to happen and it would happen. So they would do that. And this was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah knew it. And Allah allowed them as a test for them. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent, when he was first sent, that was blocked. They couldn't do that anymore. Any one of them that travels up or they stack themselves up to reach, they would be hit with a shooting star. They would be burnt. And here is Surah As-Saffat. Talks about them. Right? إِلَّا مَنِ اسْتَرَقَ السَّمْعَ فَأَتْبَعَهُ شِهَابٌ ثَاقِبٌ. Except for those who manage to snatch something, they hit with a shooting star. And this is what they're saying here now. They say, oh, now we understand why we were blocked from heaven. Because of this tremendous affair, the sending of the final Prophet and Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ. We used to overhear, we used to, you know, steal news from the lowest heaven or the nearest heaven. فَمَنْ يَسْتَعْمِ الْآنَ يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابًا. Whoever attempts to hear now or listen anything, then they would be hit with a shooting star that is in lying in wait for them, that is prepared for them to be shot at them. So it was protected. It was protected. And there was the news that I'm actually, the tradition, the akhbar, that you will find them in the books of Seerah, that Iblis used to depend a lot on the jinn who would steal these news. So then one day, all of a sudden, no one could steal any news. So he said, اضربوا في الأرض إن هذا ما حدث هذا إلا لأمر جلل أو أمر عظيم. This must be such a great thing happened. This kind of prevention, this kind of protection, shielding. It must be for a great and tremendous affair. Go around the earth and find out what that was. Okay, so there, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us that this is what was happening? And subhanAllah, these jinn, when they believed, they realized, they just said, it's fitrah. Whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will not be, you know, dealt with wrongly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will win, no matter what happens. You will win. Okay, فَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِرَبِّهِ فَلَا يَخَافُ بَخْسًا وَلَا رَهَقًا. Then they said, among us are the believers, وَأَنَّ مِنَّ الصَّالِحُونَ وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. Among us are the righteous ones, and among us are the wicked ones. وَأَنَّ مِنَّ الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّ الْقَاسِطُونَ. Among us are those who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and among us are those who transgress the limits. But those who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the people who have sought the best way, al-rashad. Again, rushd, we said rushd, the best path, the wise path, upright path. وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا. Those who disbelieve among us, they will become the fuel of the hellfire. Alhamdulillah, the message of Islam reached them.
And that's a reminder for us humans. Jinn are heeding the Quran, and we read the Quran and we're not heeding it. Allah says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنْ الْحَقِّ. Isn't it time for the believers that their hearts have khushu'? What is khushu'? It's the deep state of iman. It's the deep state of iman, not learning only the words of the Quran and only the meanings and dealing that as an academic endeavor. It is part of learning the Quran, but the point behind sending the Quran is what? أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That your hearts engage with the Quran, your hearts are affected by the Quran. Iman grows in your heart, your hearts are humbled, are shaped by the Quran. Your faith is increased with Iman. That's what the Quran is for. That's what happened to these jinn. What happens to these jinn is that they increased in Iman and they turned into believers. They accepted Islam by hearing the Prophet ﷺ reciting once. What about us? What about us? And they figured out all these facts. And they rebelled against their leaders who were misguiding them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks here, وَلَوْ اسْتَقَامُوا عَلَى الطَّرِيقَةِ لَأَسْقَيْنَاهُمْ مَاءً غَدَقًا. Had they remained upon the straight path that they were created for, we would have given them sweet, soft water. And again, these are the drinks in paradise. And whoever turns away from Allah, rebels against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they would receive a severe punishment. You choose for yourself. Then Allah, again, is this part of, now the rest, is it part of the conversation of the jinn or is it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A debate, it could be any one of those. قال وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا أي لا دعاء عبادة ولا دعاء مسألة فإن المساجد التي هي أعظم محل للعبادة مبنية على الإخلاص لله والخضوع لعظمته والاستكانة لعزته وأنه لما قام عبد الله يدعوه أي يسأله ويتعبد له ويقرأ القرآن كاد الجن من تكاثرهم عليه أن يكونوا عليه لبدا أي متلبدين متراكمين حرصا على سماع ما جاء به من الهدى قل لهم أيها الرسول مبينا حقيقة ما تدعو إليه إنما أدعو ربي ولا أشرك به أحدا أي أوحده وحده لا شريك له وأخلع ما دونه من الأنداد والأوثان وكل ما يتخذه المشركون من دونه قل إني لا أملك لكم ضرا ولا رشدا أي فإني عبد ليس لي من الأمر ولا من التصرف شيء قال قل إني لن يجيرني من الله أحد ولن لن يجيرني من الله أحد أي لا أحد أستجير به ينقذني من عذاب الله وإذا كان الرسول الذي هو أكمل الخلق لا يملك ضرا ولا رشدا ولا يمنع نفسه من الله شيئا إن أراده بسوء فغيره من الخلق من باب أولى وأحرى ولن أجد من دونه ملتحدا أي ملجأ ومنتصرا إلا بلاغا من الله ورسالاته أي ليس لي مزية على الناس إلا أن الله خصني بإبلاغ رسالاته ودعوة الخلق إلى الله وبهذا تقوم الحجة على الناس ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإن له نار جهنم خالدين فيها أبدا وهذا المراد به المعصية الكفرية كما قيدتها النصوص الأخر المحكمة وأما مجرد المعصية فإنه لا يوجب الخلود في النار كما دلت على ذلك آيات القرآن والأحاديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأجمع عليه سلف الأمة وأئمة هذه الأمة.
That is, do not call upon any others in the sense of the supplication of worship or the supplication of asking. For the mosques, which are the greatest places of worship, are built on a foundation of sincere devotion to Allah alone, submission to His greatness and surrender to His might. When the slave of Allah stood up to call upon Him alone, to ask of Him and worship Him, reciting the Qur'an, the jinn crowded around Him and swarmed around Him, that is, they were piled on top of one another, eager to listen to the guidance that He brought. Say to them, O Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, explaining the truth of that to which you are calling them, I call on my Lord alone, and I do not associate anyone with Him. That is, I affirm His oneness, for He is one, with no partner or associate, and I shun all others, idols and rivals, and everything that the polytheists take as gods besides Him. Say, I have no power either to harm or benefit you, for I am a slave who has no control and no power over anything. Say, verily no one can protect me from the punishment of Allah. That is, there is no one I can turn to save me from the punishment of Allah. If the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most perfect of all people, has no power to cause harm or bring benefit, and cannot ward off from himself any ill that Allah may intend for him, then it is more appropriate that other humans have no power to do so. And I will never find any refuge other than him, that is no help or supporter other than him. But I can convey that which I receive from Allah and His messages. That is, I have no advantage over people except that Allah chose me to convey His messages and to call people to Him. Thus, proof is established against people. And whoever disobeys Allah and His messenger, for him is the fire of hell, to abide therein forever. What is meant here is disobedience or sin that is so great that it constitutes disbelief, as is clarified by other clear Quranic texts. As for mere sin, it does not lead to eternity in hell, as is indicated by the verses of the Quran, the hadiths of the Prophet ﷺ, and the consensus of the early generations and leading scholars of this ummah.
A few points here. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. That worship, places of worship, and that also means worship, is only for Allah. We don't worship anything else. Neither a prophet nor an angel, nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we, even the people that we honor and like the prophets and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we do not exceed the limits. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تُطْرُونِي كَمَا أَطْرَتِ النَّصَارَ الْمَسِيحَ ابْنَ مَرْيَمُ وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ فَإِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْدُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not exaggerate my praise as the Christians did with Al-Masih alayhi salam. I am merely the slave of Allah and His servant and His messenger. So just call me the messenger of Allah. And subhanAllah, shaitan managed to get into the ummah by getting people to follow the paths or the ways of previous nations, glorifying the righteous. And they started by erecting graves, glorifying the graves, because these were righteous people. And then they started giving, you know, more weight to these graves, and they started to build mausoleums and visitation for the graves and rituals, and this became part of so-called righteousness. Subhanallah, when it's the opposite of Islam. And we have Muslims, unfortunately today, who think they are sophisticated, who philosophize about this, and they seek or they utilize the deviances that happened in Islam, even by some famous names in the history of Islam, to justify such acts that violate the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be worshipped alone. This is a place, this is an area that we approach with utmost precaution. Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't mess with that. We don't play with that. So that's a very important thing. وأنه لما قام عبد الله يدعوه كادوا يكونون عليه لبدا. And that's again, that's the example when the jinn came to hear the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, كادوا يكونون عليه لبدا. لبدا is more like patches, you know, band-aids. If you put so many band-aids on one spot, that's like you're patching up a lot. That's لبدا. Okay, so they accumulated to the point that there was a lot of them trying to hear what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was saying. They were interested in that. Their curiosity was piqued, and subhanAllah, it turned them into Muslims. And here the Prophet ﷺ is saying, obviously, that I of myself have no control, have no power. I'm just the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't even bring benefit or harm to myself. It's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لذان عندك؟ طيب. نخذ إن شاء الله 10 دقائق إلى 55 بإذن الله. Yeah, another point here that is very important, which is وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. Whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, then he will have the fire of hell for eternity. Disobedience, eternity, what are we talking about? We're talking about kufr here. And acts of kufr. That's very important. And this, there's a lesson here that we have to understand. A lot of Muslims start learning Islam and they learn a little bit, but then they become very bold in making ijtihad when they have no tools and they don't have the understanding and they don't have the what it takes to be able to engage in that. And you know, social media is full of examples. It's good if you learn an area and you teach in it and you stay in it, but if you again start to grow and start to talk about things you don't know, and start to, you know, talk about big issues and issues of public interest, and then start pointing out other people's mistakes. When you haven't studied fiqh thoroughly and enough, you haven't studied usul al-fiqh, and you don't know how, you know, oftentimes in any, with any issue, there's a huge number of evidence and principles that are acting, that factor into the ruling of that thing. You know one or two, but there is probably 20 or 30 that you are clueless about, and then you say, here is what the hadith says, and that's wrong. And that's similar to what Al-Khuwaysala said to the Prophet ﷺ after Ghazwat al-Hunayn, after Hunayn, he said to the Prophet ﷺ, because the Prophet ﷺ started to give the new Muslims from Mecca, who used to fight the Muslims more than the Ansar, from the spoils of war. For someone like us, it seems like this is not an even, you know, distribution. So the Al-Khuwaysala said, إن هذه قسمة ما أريد بها وجه الله. He turns to the Prophet and says, this is not for the sake of Allah. He's speaking to the Prophet ﷺ. And apparently he thinks he has a fair case, right? A lot of people are doing that today, not with the Prophet ﷺ, but with other Muslims. And with their speaking about affairs that require, you know, so much expertise in fiqh and usul al-fiqh and al-qawa'id al-fiqhiyya, and what the scholars call fiqh nafs wa malaka fil fiqh, like a deep understanding and mastery of how fiqh works. That's a very profound specialization. And these people just, oh, this is this, oh, this is that. And they get online and they speak about the public affairs of the Muslims. And then you find their students now are getting too audacious and they speak about anything. They just learn a hadith or verse here and they start talking about, and they think, oh, it's easy because it sounds easy, like my teacher makes it look easy, right? And that's jur'ah ala deen Allah azza wa jal. This is audacity and boldness in the inappropriate place. Okay, let's continue. I doubt that we will finish in 5 minutes, so I would say let's stop here inshallah ta'ala, and we will continue next Friday, بإذن الله تعالى. Surah Nuh is short, the tafsir, so most likely we will finish Surah Al-Jinn, inshallah, and Surah Nuh. I can take one or two quick questions. Abu, تسمعنا هناك ولا لا؟ خمس دقائق، جزاك الله خير. One or two quick questions. If you want to start making your way, by the way, you will need to make wudu to catch Takbirat al-Ihram, the first takbirah in the salah, has more priority than anything we do here. So make sure, inshallah, if you want to use your wudu, you want to make wudu or go early, go ahead. No worries. Quick, it has to be a quick question. Go ahead.
The hadith where Prophet had this man that they thought was Dajjal.
Oh, so Ibn Sayyad. Yeah, I'm not. First, you know, Ibn Sayyad is a very, very controversial issue. First, it's authentic. Okay. It's authentic. But what is the reality of this guy, Ibn Sayyad? What's his reality? It's very confusing. Like, it's very difficult to understand. Not confusing for people like us. So the scholars had reasoned about that. Even Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu used to say, وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ إِنَّهُ الدَّجَّال. Like, Umar used to say, this is a Dajjal. And the Prophet didn't say anything. Right? And the Prophet asked him, مَاذَا تَرَى? And so obviously there is jinn involved, there's shaitan involved, but we don't know. I personally don't know. I researched that at some stage, and you know what? I couldn't really figure out what was going on. So I left it. I said, maybe inshallah, in the future, the brother there. Al-Bi'tha. نعم حتى الآن. Okay, so the brother is asking, were they forbidden from the sending of the Prophet ﷺ? Yes, but what do they do? They do have suicide, what do you call them? I mean, you have suicide spies who would go and he would sacrifice himself and die. He would snatch it and he would throw it to the person below him and he would be hit. So that's their trick. Yes, they do it. So that's the only exception. Oh, the scholars, the scholars say about jinn, they have a life of their own. They have sciences, and they are more advanced than humans. They are more advanced than humans. They have technology, they have science, they have devices, they have reading, they have languages. And the ruqya practitioners will tell you that a jinn can speak any language. Yeah, and they can converse with them with any language. So, and they live for long. They live for thousands of years. Sometimes tens of thousands of years.
So they can also read the Quran?
They can read the Quran, yes. Among them, there are scholars, by the way. There are scholars. There are muhaddithun, scholars of hadith, scholars of usul and fiqh. Yeah. Yeah, they are literally like, they have a social life like humans. Even most likely, that's more sophisticated. Yeah. Okay, jazakumullah khairan. We have to close. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See you next Friday, bi-idhnillah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum.